Daf is daf your test. So we got the two lines down. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Lo Nivrechas HaKovsin. Nivrechas HaKovsin was that water that they used to do laundry in. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah said you have to separate that from the wall of the friend three tefachim away. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Lo Shanu Ela Min HaMachmitzin. It's only separating from the Machmitzin, which Rashi explains is the Nivrechas Shesharin Bavasa Begadim, where you'd soak the dirty clothing, Yom or Yomai, a day or two. But so as klavim, it had the dirt on it, excrement, whatever it was, and the water would go bad and really would affect the wall. So that's when you have to separate three tefachim. Aval says the Gemara, when it comes to nadain, dal amos, nadain means to move. Rashi explained it's the area where you would actually mishapshif, where you would really scrub it and it would shake the land. So that requires dal amos, more of a distance, because the movement of the land is going to impact more than the moisture, the bad water. So that's what the Gemara's qualifies. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same thing. Nivrechas HaKovsin, in the water you're laundering, Dal Amos. It's four Amos. The Gemara says, not Dal Amos. Our Mishnah says, Behanan Tanan Gimel Tvachim. You only need to separate three Tvachim, this Nivrechas HaKovsin, in the water you do laundry in. So El Alav Shema Amina must be Kedarf Nachman, that one's referring to the water where you'd soak it, and one was referring to the area where you would scrub it. Vika the Rami Lahu, others presented as a question, Mirma de Tanan Nivrechas HaKovsin, Shlosh Tvachim. Vatanya Arba Amos, Amir of Nachman, again, Amiraba Baravu, Lokasha Kan, Mina Machmatin Kan, Mina Nidain. And Rav Chia Barre, de Rav Avia, Masile Behedia, he had taught this explicitly, that the Mishnah read, Ela Imkain Hirchak Misfasam Machamtin, Ulakoso Gimel Tvachim. That our Mishnah explicitly said that you separate three Tvachim from the Machmatin, the area where you'd soak the clothing, implying there's another part where you'd scrub, that would be four Amos from the Kosel Shel Chavero. Marnell says, Vesad Besid, we saw in the Mishnah said a few times, when after you dig your hole next to your friend's property, you also need to layer it and line it with this type of plaster. So Gemara wants to know, Ibar Lu Sad Besid, do you also need to do Sad Besid in addition to digging it or separating it? I mean, in addition to Harchaka, you also require Sad Besid? O Dilma, O Sad Besid, or maybe you have options. You could either distance it, or you could put it up next to your friend's property, but as long as you seal it properly and strengthen it, reinforce it. So Gemara says, Pshit is obvious. The answer is, Divisad Besid, you need to also plaster it properly, Tanan. Why? Because this Hagadaita, had you thought, De Osad Besid Tanan, it was the option, you can, if you want to, either distance it or you can plaster it. Imkain, if that's the case, larvinu v'lisninu, you should put them all together, because the Mishnah was saying you separate these things, you know, had a grouping of a few and then said sad besid, then had another grouping of a few and said sad besid. If sad besid is a whole new solution, so teach all the things, you distance these things, 20 things from the chaga, or you could do sad besid. The fact they put sad besid with each grouping tells you that's needed. In addition to distancing, you also need to plaster. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Not true. Dilma mishum delo dami hai hazeka la hai hazeka. Maybe the reason why they separated is not because of sad besid is part of the distancing or separate from the distancing. They separated by groupings at different types of damaging, whether it's damaging through heat or through moisture or through movement. And that's why. So the Gemara says, Reisha Hezeka Dimisuna, Vesefa Hezeka Dehevla. Right, the Reisha was separated as a certain grouping because it's damaged through moisture, and the Sefa was separated independently because it's damaged through the Hevel, through the heat, and through the steam. And that's why they separated it. And there is no Raya where the Sad Besid is in addition, it's a with a Vav, or it's O Sad Besid. Okay, the Gemara now says, Tashma tries to bring a Raya here, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Sela Haba Biadaim, Zechofer Boro Mikan, Vezechofer Boro Mikan. If it's something that you could dig with your hands, so then a person could go up until wherever he wants in his property, and you could put it, dig it in your property. And when we do this, you need to both do a harchaka, and you also need to sad besid. So Gemara says, Taima de Babi Adaim, only because this is a very soft ground that you could really dig out with your own hands, do you require this reinforcement. Ha lo Babi Adaim, had it been regular dirt that cannot be dug with your hands, lo, you don't need to do sad besid because it's already strong on its own right. So the Gemara says, no, not true, lo. Huadin afagav de lo Babi Adaim. It's even if you didn't Babi Adaim, even if it's a regular type of dirt that's not soft. Nami sad besid, you still need to properly line it. Ubabi adaim itzvichle So why is it telling me that Babi Yadayim also requires Sabbasidah? Of course, if every type of dirt requires this plaster, so certainly Babi Yadayim is soft dirt, certainly that requires a Sabbasid. So the Gemara says, no, Sakadai Techamin, I would have thought, Kaven de Babi Yadayim Libai Rav Chetvei, since it's so soft, you need an additional distancing. 3 Tvachim on each side isn't enough. You maybe need 6 Tvachim on each side. Kamash Mula, no. Even Babi Yadayim, it's sufficient with 3 Tvachim, as long as you also have the Sabbasid. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Marchikin es ha-gefes ves ha-zevel ves ha-melech ves ha-slam. You also have to distance these types of the coals and the manure and the salt from the kosel of chavero. So Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Masech HaShavis, Tanan Hasim, Bameh Tomrim Uvma Ein Tomrim. Which types of things are you allowed to do ha-timana? We know the halachas of ha-timana, insulating food to keep it warm, Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos. Certain things that are motzi hevel, the most of hevel, certain things are not most of hevel. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah now, Ein tomnim lo begefes, you cannot do a tamana in gefes, which is the remainders of olives, v'lo bezevel, which is the manure, v'lo bemelch, not in salt, v'lo besid, not in the plaster, v'lo bechol, and not in the sand either, bein lachin, bein yevashin, whether they're moist or whether they're dry. So our Mishnah has identical list when it comes to separating from the kosel shel boruch haveiro, but it doesn't have chol, and it does have slum. They switched. Our Mishnah has slum, but not chol. The Mishnah by Shabbos has chol, but doesn't have slum, the coals. So asks the Gemara, Mishna hacha, why here does it say in our Mishnah, the katani slum, you have to separate the coals from the kosel shel chavero, v'lo katani chol, but it doesn't mention the sand. And Mishna hacha, why over there by Shabbos it says, the katani chol mentions sand, you cannot insulate in sand, v'lo katani slum, doesn't mention insulating in coals. So Amar Rav Yosef says, Lefish ein darchan shel b'nei adam lahatmin b'slam. People don't bury their food. They don't insulate their food in coals. That's not what's done. So it was left off the list. So then the Gemara says, Amar le'baye, v'chi darchan shel b'nei adam lahatmin b'gizei tzemer l'shono sh'argaman. So do people normally insulate their food in very nice wool and strips of what's argaman, they say?
Purple wool.
Yeah. Do they do this? No, they don't put their food in fancy garments. Dasani, the Braisa tells us, Tomnim begizei tzemer ubetzipei tzemer ubelashon hashe argaman uven mochen. You're allowed to insulate in these types of cloths and wool and the purple wood and mochen is Rashi explains mochen is a part of the clothing. I don't know what these different materials are. But all these things, since they're very precious cloths, you don't want to ruin it. So they're muksa. You can't move it, but you could do a tamana. So we see that the Braisa still mentions things that are allowed to be done, even though it's not normally done. So it's not a raya. Just because people don't normally insulate in coals doesn't mean they won't list it. So again, why are slime not on the list in Matmana, and why is chol not listed in our Mishnah here in Baba Basra? So Ella Amar Abai. Abai says, Yagid Alav Reo. So the friend's going to tell you. What does it mean your friend's going to tell you? It's a pasuk that the Gemara invokes several places. Meaning what? Tana Hacha Slam. Our Mishnah here mentions Slam. Who I did? Chol is included in the same list. They just want to be so exhaustive. They left one thing off the list. And same thing in Shabbos, Tana Hasam Chol. There it mentions Chol. But who I did in the Slam? They're coupled together. But then each Mishnah didn't mention every single thing on the list. So Amar Le Rava, Rava says, according to your reasoning, Yagir Ala Reyu, if you're quoting the pasuk, if you have an idea, they mention one, and there's a whole list of other things that are included, Lisninu L'chulu Bechada. So why doesn't it teach an exhaustive list on one? So let's say our mission, Babasa, should mention everything, including Chol. Mention every item. And then, over there in Shabbos, Lisnei Chada Minayu Be'idach, and the other one in Shabbos, mention just one, mention just, let's say, a Gefes. And then, who are then the rest will be implied from the mentioning of Gefes. So, Ella, the fact that who are then Le'idach, and the rest should be included. So, therefore, that's not a good explanation of leaving one off the list. So, Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, Hasam Hainu Taima. The reason why in the Mishnah on Shabbos by Hatmana, it doesn't mention slime, is Delo Katani Slime, Nishum De Mishtakche La Likadera. Because it does something to the pot. No one would use it. What does it do to the pot? So there's a big machlokas Rishonim here. Look at Rashi halfway down the page. Rashi says, Mishum De Mishtakche La Likadera, Shemishabrim Es HaKadera. It breaks the Kadera, Kach Shematikan. That's what he heard here. If you put it in coals, the coals are going to be so hard, strong rather, and hot, it's going to cause it to burst. And Mechomakum Shemastiv Shemala Chul Chaluda. He thought it means that over time it's going to create rust. That's why people wouldn't do it. So either because it's going to break the pot or it's going to create rust. There's a long Tosus here on the side here. Tosus quotes a whole slew of other suggestions of what's going on here. Let's see if I can pull out some of the lines here. We have one suggestion he makes is because it's Milsad El Shrifa. People don't do this, so they don't. So that's why it wasn't listed. They didn't make a gzera, rather. There's no gzera by coals. It's not done. And Milsad lo shchicha lo gozu b'rabbanan. That's what it means. Mishum de mishtakche is lashon of shchicha. It's not common to insulate in coals, whatever the reason is. So it wasn't part of the gzera. And the Tosus writes, that was the minag. Their minag, he writes, was sha'anu nogin lehatmin b'sloim sha'esh yotze mehen shikarn coals. Apparently in Europe, where he lived, they actually would insulate in coals. There was no such gzera. Now, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the reason why they wouldn't put it in coals because the coals would ruin the food. It would give bad flavor to the food. Okay, so different reasons why one wouldn't use coals to insulate. So then the Gemara says, Hacha, regarding here, our mission, Ba Basra, why doesn't it mention the chol? If I put sand in my property, I have a little sandbox, shouldn't I have to separate it from your boar because the sand's going to ruin your boar? So Gemara says, no, Hacha, Hainu Taima, Delo Katani Chol, why doesn't it mention chol here? Bishum de Mechamime, Chaim, Umekarire, Karir. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains around halfway down, still the Mechamime, Chaim, Kishinosin, Bodavar Cham, if you place something hot in the salt in the sand, it's going to stay hot. It's all relative. So if you put it, doesn't always sand doesn't produce heat. If it's something hot in it, so then the sand's going to respond and create and retain that heat. So that's why by Timon it's a problem. But when it's next to something cold, it retains the cold air. So putting sand next to the wall won't ruin it. It's not going to emit heat. It's going to remain cold. It's going to preserve the wall by keeping it cold, if anything. So cold does not ruin the walls, and you can put sand near the friend's kosel shelboro chaver. Okay. Mar now says, V'hatani Rabbi Oshai, doesn't it teach us in the Brisa here, Chol has Chol, doesn't he say Chol, that Chol is Aser, to put next to the wall of the Chavero? So Gemara says, Hasem v'masuna, that's talking about wet sand, where the sand is moist, that's where it's Aser to put next to the wall. So Tana Dinan Nami Lisne. So why doesn't our Mishnah also list Chol? Our Mishnah doesn't mention sand at all. So it should mention wet sand. Mention our Mishnah should be wet sand, that it should be Osir. Why doesn't the Mishnah mention that? So Gemara says, Hatani le Amasamayim, because we already have an example of a moisture ruining the wall. We already said Amasamayim. You can't have a little stream going near the guy's wall. That's going to ruin it. So we'll understand wet sand would have the same din. So Gemara says, that's not a raya. Atumilo Katani Amasamayim. Does it not say in addition to this little stream? It also says in the Mishnah Katani Nivrechas Hakovsin. You can also have a little water, a little pond where they do laundering. So we do mention multiple cases of moisture. So we should also mention wet sand should be usher. Gemara says no. Hani Tzrichi. You needed to teach me both Amasamayim and Nivrechas Hakovsin. You couldn't learn one from the next. Why? Ditana Amasamayim, had he only taught the stream Mishim de Kavir. That's Kavu. It's said the water is always going to be passing through. That's going to be damaging. That's Aser. But I would have thought of Al Nivrechas Akovs and Delokvia. People don't have a set pond where they leave the water for laundering. I guess they'd make it whenever they need it, which you imagine would be pretty often. But I guess it's not every single second of the day. It's only when you're laundering once a day, twice, however often they do it. It's not Kavir. Aim low. Maybe you wouldn't have to distance it. Kamash Blan, even Nivrechas Akovs and you need to distance. And the opposite. Vitana Nevrechas Akovsin, have we only taught that case of the laundering pond, Mishim de Kavavakaima, because it all gathered, it stayed, it's stagnant. And that water, as it's stagnant, it gets worse, the water gets worse, and bacteria grows, and it's affecting the wall. But Amasamayim, that constantly moves downstream, it's not going to create any bacteria or anything damaging, perhaps. Low, maybe you wouldn't have to distance. Tricha, no, even the Amasamayim needs to be separated from the friend's chaver. So these two cases are needed to be taught. But the case of wet sand, you could derive from these two examples of the Mishnah. That's why it was not mentioned in our Mishnah here in Bava Basra. Okay. Look at one Tosus here, Dimavacham Mechayim, that we said the sand, it causes heat. If something hot in it, so the sand's going to then be hot itself. V'ha damer v'per kira, the Gemara in Shabbos Laman Ches. Beitza ain tomrin also lo b'chol v'lo b'avik drachim. You can't put an egg in sand, nor could you put an egg in avik drachim. And seemingly that sand is any type of sand, even a sand that's inside the house. That sand always creates heat and it's going to cook the egg. But our Gemara says only if it's hot sand. So the Tosa answers, no, ain't a chanami. The chol, the sand that the Gemara is talking about there is chol shehucham machmas hashemesh dumya davak drachim, referring to sand that was heated up by the sun. That's why it's hot and can cook an egg. But ain't a chanami, if you're inside a sandbox inside the house, whatever it is, or it's a cold day, let's say, in theory, so then perhaps one can place an egg in sand. There wouldn't be an iser. Okay, the Gemara now says the last four lines of the Amud here. You have to separate if you're planting any trees or any vegetables or for the plowing, you have to have a separation. So the Gemara explains, Zroim, typically Mishim Machrisha. So he said if you place seeds, you have to separate from your friend's property, from his kosel of his boar. So why the Zroim? Does the Zroim need a separate line? Whenever you plant, you're obviously going to first plow first. So the Machrisha requires a separation. So once you're Machrisha three Tvachim away, you're only going to plant where you just plowed. So why do we have a separate item here that you have to separate the plants, the seeds from the friend? You're already separated because the Machrisha has to be separated. So Gemara says, referring to Bimapolis Yad, referring to a situation where you planted the seed without having to plow it first. So you just kind of dug a small hole and you put it in, but you didn't do a whole plowing. That's what we're referring to. Even the one seed alone needs to be separated from your friend's property. Machrisha, the Gemara says it's aser to, if you're doing plowing, you have to separate from your friend's property three tvachim. So why does Machrisha require its own line? Typically, Mishum Mizraim. It should be aser because after you're going to do the plowing, you're going to be putting a seed in. And we already learned that you can't put a seed within three tvachim. So once you're separating because of the Zraim, why mention the Machrisha? The Gemara says that we're talking about Bechorish Lilanos, referring to if you're plowing around your tree, that tree that's been there for many days, says Rashi, and you're doing it in order to enhance the tree. So even that needs to be separated. You're not planting afterwards. You're just plowing around the tree, but you're not planting in the area where you've just plowed. That area you might think you could put next to your friend's property because you're not going to plant anything in that area. Kamashalan, the Machrisha also needs to be separated from your friend's property. Then the Gemara says, well, wait a second, are you going to be watering the trees and watering the Zeraim? So that's why it should be Asr, because we already know that that moisture is going to damage the property. So the Gemara says, Tana be'Eretz Yisrael kai, referring to Eretz Yisrael, d'chsev lemata shemayim tishtemayim, where you're not actually going to be putting the water, you're not watering it, it all is going to come naturally from the rain. That's how it works in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. So the Gemara says now, Lememra Dizram, is this to suggest that when it comes to planting these seeds, Litstadin Kamishtarshe? So why can't I plant my vegetables right next to your border, your property? Because the seeds are going to grow into a plant, into a tree, and the branches, the roots are going to spread and going to go into your property, it's going to ruin it. So is that really true that when you grow vegetables, carrots or whatever, the roots really go out off to the side? Hatnan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us, the Mishnah appears in Maseches Kalayim. Tanan, Hamavrich es hagefen ba'aretz. What's Mavrich? So Rashi explains two lines down in Amud Beis here, Hamavrich es hagefen, gefen yechidi. I've got one grapevine. Shein bezram she'etzlam mishim irvuv. And the seeds that are next to it, it's not going to be an iser of Kalayim, is when you're mixing together. De'ein karim b'pachas mechamesh gifanim, shtayim kineged shtayim v'achaz yotei ganov. There is no Issa Klaim with one vine. You need to have a Karim to have an Issa Klaim. A Klaim is defined by having five vines at least. So this is not an Issa Klaim at all. Ella Shelo Yanik Hazer Mei Geffen. So fine, I meant to read the next Rashi, sorry. Mavrich Rashi explains, Kima Vayivarech HaGemolim, Vayivarech HaGemolim, that the camels means Kofef Zmoros Geffen. You bend the vines of the grapevines. Michuberes Umavrich HaBakark. You place it in the ground, B'tzidel on the side, Lakan Lakan. V'korin Belaz Provener, don't know what that means exactly in French, but you basically bend the vine and dig it, put it underneath the ground, and it comes up somewhere else underneath the ground. That's what mavrich is. So again, the Mishnah says, "Hamavrich es hagefen ba'aretz." You do this process, put it through the ground. Im eina gava afar shloshet tvachim. If it doesn't go three tvachim deep, you just kind of put it below the ground where it's covered, but it's really kind of crawling right below the ground level within the first three tvachim of the above ground. So then the problem is, lo yavizer aleh. You cannot place wheat on top of that can't grow wheat because now they're within three tvachim of each other. One's above the ground, one's below the ground, but that's still close enough to produce kalayim. Vitaniyala, and the Brisa says, Aval zorea esat stadim eilich ve'eilich. But so I've got a line here of one vine. It's within the tefach of the ground, let's say. I can't plant on top of it. But right off to the side, right here, I am allowed to plant wheat. And we're not concerned of any climb, which means we're not concerned that this vine is going to start branching out below ground. The roots are not going to go litzdadim. So the Gemara says, so, but we said above, the reason why I can't plant this rhyme next to your property is because it will go litzdadim. The roots will go litzdadim. So Amar Rabbi Chaga b'shem Rabbi Yosi mipneishem machlidin esakarka umalin afar tichyach. No, everybody agrees that roots don't grow roots off to the side. But when the vegetables grow, it's going to start drawing the nourishment from the ground. It's going to soften the ground, make it weaker, and that in turn is going to ruin your property, not because of the roots, just because it's really going to be drawing some of that dirt and the moisture and weakening. It's going to fall apart. So that's by trees. But the trees do ilanos, but zroim, these are seeds and vegetables and stuff like that where their roots don't grow. I guess you know if you go, I'm not sure when carrot picking or whatever, you just pull it straight out. It only goes straight and little things off to the side, but certainly not three tvachim. Okay. Gemara says the two dots now. The es meiraglaim meakosa gimel tvachim. So Amar Rabba, Rabba Bar Barchana, Mutter le'odim lahashin mayim b'tzai kosa. A person's allowed to urinate next to a guy's wall. Shechavero, you're allowed to, and it's not of concern. It's not going to damage it. Dichsin, how does he know this? What's the raya? So he brings an interesting pasuk here. The pasuk in Malachim Aleph, it says, V'chrati la'achav mashtin bekir, v'otzer v'ozav b'yisrael. So what's this pasuk mean here? I'm going to wipe out, destroy the house of Achav. He did terrible things. Who mashin bekir, he would urinate against the wall, v'atzer v'azav, and it would gather inside. Atzer means sometimes, eteris means to stop, to gather together, b'yisrael. Okay, so either way, so the fact that the pasuk is mashin bekir seems to indicate that mutter, that was something that was normally done, to mashin bekir, and that would be mutter. That was his rai. He brings him an interesting context here in Malachim Aleph. So the Gemara says, doesn't our Mishnah say, you must distance meraglaim three tvachim from the wall? You can't be mashin on a kir. Hasan b'shofchan, that's talking about when you take a toilet, wherever a person's meraglaim is, and dump it, that's where it's usher. To be mashim on occasion, that's fine, but to dump a whole bucket of meraglaim, that's what the Mishnah refers to, that's going to be usher because of a nezek. Toshma, the Gemara brings a raya now. Lo yashtin odam mayim bitzad kosa shechavero elim kein hirchik mimeno gimel tvachim. A person may not be mashin. A person may not urinate onto a person's wall unless he separates three tvachim. And then the Gemara says mimadvar murim. When is it true? But kosa levein. When it's referring to bricks. Rashi says the bricks are I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I skipped the parentheses.
Did we do the parentheses?
I normally skip them. So unless you think we should do them?
No.
Right, normally we skip them. Okay. Once in a while I will read them, it's true, but the normal clause we don't read them. So again, lo yashin adam mayim betzad kosel shechaveiro elem kein hirchik mimeno gimel tvachim. B'med dvam amurim, when is this true? B'kosel levein, when it's referring to a brick wall, as Rashi explains, it's made from type of dirt, and it's dried in the sun, and from water it can really cause it to melt and ruin the bricks. So that's why you need to separate three tvachim. But kosa avana made of stone, which is the natural form, it's much stronger. Bichdei shelo yazik, you have to distance whatever it means. It's a lesser amount of distancing. How much kama? How far do you have to distance? Only a tefach. When it comes to avanim, you only need to distance yourself a tefach when a person is mashing against such a wall. Vishel tsunma, which is a Rashi explains im kosel zeb banoi besela, it's built into the rock of the ground. You're not concerned of any of the wall getting ruined, such a strong rock, it's from the ground, then it's mutter, even mamish up until the kosa. So the Gemara says, now, tiyufta diraba bar barchana tiyufta, because the question is, our mission above says, from the kosa shechaveru of levenim, you have to separate three tvachim. But above, Rabbi Bar Barchana says, you don't have to separate from any wall, even a levenim wall, you're allowed to be mashtinon. So the Gemara says, "Vaha Rabba Bar Barchana Krakamar," but he quoted a pasuk. It wasn't a good pasuk. He had a raya how he knew that one would be permitted to mashin on a wall. So the Gemara says, "No, Hasam Hachi Kamar." He misunderstood the pasuk. The pasuk says is meant to be understood as follows: Afilu midi de darcha leishtunei bekir lo shvikalei. When he cuts off the base achav, he's going to wipe out everyone, even something that's normally mashing on a kir, that normally urinates on a wall. Even that person or that being, lo shvikarnalei, I'm not going to leave over from base achav. I'm going to destroy the entire house of achav. Umaynihu, what's this being that's normally mashing on a kir? A kalav, even the dogs that were raised in the house of Achav are going to be wiped out as well. There is no raya at all from this pasuk that's permitted to mashin on the kir shel chaver. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rebbe Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel Rokik Eidem Amai Bechalon. So now we're going to back to some world of Tuma Vitara. So the rokik, what's a rokik? Rashi explained, a rokik is a sofkin charara daka v'racha, a sponge type of a small bread, very thin and soft. So if you have this small type of bread, let's call it, I don't know, pita bread, let's say, eino mimayit b'chon, it's not going to minimize the distance in the window. So what's that referring to here? So the halacha is, if you have a mace in a body, in a mace in a bias rather, so that body, the tumma is going to leave from a wall. If there's an opening, the tumma is going to leave that window, that opening, and going to go to a next door house or next door room. But if you close up that window, so then the tumma is stuck inside. So let's say I've got an opening, and a person puts a pita bread to block the opening, is that going to be considered a chatzitza to prevent the tumma from escaping the room? So the Gemara says, no, it's eino memayit b'chal. It's not going to prevent, it's not going to block the window. The tumma is going to go right through, penetrate right through that rokik, that pita bread. Okay, so what's the reason for this? So look at Rashi. Rashi explained, eino memayit b'chalon. Shebein bayis lebayis. You have two houses adjacent to each other. V'yeshua posech tefach. And there's a little opening between the two. Umeis munach ba'achas mehen. And there's a dead body in one of them. V'tuma bokas letzad sheni. Now the tuma is trying to escape to the other room. Ein rokik memayit shirun milhotzi v'tuma. It doesn't block the wall, the window. Why? Since the pita bread is edible, there's a thought that's going to be eaten, it's not going to remain there forever, that's not considered a block, it's not considered a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, so my ear your rokik. Why does it mention only a rokik, this soft piece of bread? Afilu avi, even a thick piece of bread, the same halacha, that's also edible. Nami. So Gemara says, "Lomi bai kamar." Needless to say, type of statement. Meaning what? Lomi bai ava. Certainly, a thick piece of bread is not going to block it. Came the ich selei lomivatilei, since it's so edible, a thick piece of bread. Ava rokik de memois ema betuli maftulei. But a thin piece of bread, which is very easily gets dirty, your person won't eat it. Even that, maybe that will be vatil. Kamash Malan, no. So Rashi explains that aval rokik demais, if it's thin, it gets dirty. Mitokshu dak vlachluach hakosel meritvo nimas. It's very thin, so it's going to get soggy. So no one's going to eat the pita bread if it stays there on the wall. It's going to get very dirty. So that's considered batel. So maybe that case will be considered a chatzitza. Kamash Malan, it's not. But it's obvious by a thick piece of challah bread, which if it plays on the window, it's not going to get dirty so easily. That's more likely a person would eat. So that's pashit. That bread won't separate, won't block the wall. But again, there's a havamina that a soft, a thin piece of pita bread, which would get ruined easily and no one would eat it. Maybe that can be considered batel. And chatzitza, kamashman, it doesn't block the window. The Tosos writes here. Look at Tosos Amar Rav Tuvi Rakik Einu Mamai towards the top. He's explaining why we're talking about this right now. We're talking about Hezek right now and walls and separating salt and water. He says Hach Shmai. So this discussion is Maisi Hach is brought here in the Gemara now. Agav the Parach LeKaman, because later on we're going to ask the question. Zraim came in the Kash LeKosel Shakalu. He's going to have something related to it later on that brings it back full circle to our discussion here. Right now there is no relevance, but later on there will be a relevance. So the Gemara now asks, "V'tepik lei dehavilei davar shu makabel tuma." The reason why this pita bread shouldn't be a chatzita is because the bread in general, any food, can be makabel tuma, and there's a klal v'chol davar shu makabel tuma. Eino chotes b'fnei tuma. Something that itself can receive tuma cannot block tuma. So if I have a bread here in the wall, the window blocking it, now the mace is going to make that bread tuma. Now it becomes tame, no longer could serve as a chatzitza. So that's why pita bread doesn't serve as a chatzitza. Not because it's edible and a person is going to eat it and remove it, because it itself is susceptible to tumah. Gemara says, no, not true. It's not a klal. Not all tumah, all food can become tame. Shenilash bimei peros. It was kneaded with fruit juices. What's the significance of fruit juices? So there's a klal. Before any food can become tameh, it has to first be hukshar. It has to first come into contact with one of the seven liquids, water, wine, blood, olive, milk, and so on. There's seven of them. It has to come into contact with one of those liquids. And only after that point of being hukshar tumah, then if a mace touches it, it will become tameh. But this food, this rakik, was made of fruit juice, apple juice, let's say. They made pita with apple juice, which is very common. So therefore, it's not susceptible to tumah and can block it. It's only because this pita bread is edible that a person is going to eventually remove it from the window. That's the reason why it doesn't serve as a chatzitza. Okay. Now, interesting Tosos here. Tosos writes, Shani lo shebe me peros. He says, the Gemara could have given another answer as well. Could have been referring to a very small pita bread. There's a halacha that food is only mematame if it's the size of a beitza or more. If it's less than that size, it's not makabel batuma. The Gemara could have given that answer as well. And then Tosa says, "Ubi maseches olos chashiv pachos mikabeta ochlin b'hadi hanach shamer shemimatin satefach." So food that's less than a kabeitza can serve to block windows. So if I have multiple pieces of food, multiple pieces of bread, lined up here, that can actually block the window, and it won't be makabel tumah because each piece is less than a kabeitza on its own. The Gemara could have suggested that as well, but the Gemara didn't. And then we'll do one more Tosas, then we'll finish the Gemara. Tosas is mei peros. What's mei peros? So peros rabbeinu chananel kigon shemen, like olive oil. Now, that's not true. Below Dak, he wasn't clear because Shemen is Machshir. Shemen is one of the seven liquids. Yes, it comes from the olive oil. It's olives. It's May Peros. But it's still one of the seven Mashkim that are Machshir. So he thinks it was a mistake in Rabbeinu Chananel. Now, on the side here, I found the Hagos Vitzunim. They explain the Rabbeinu Chananel. It meant to say Shuman. It meant to be oil or fats. Not olive oil, it could be sesame oil, vegetable oil. Those types of oils are not going to be machshir. That's what Rabbeinu Chananel was referring to. He wasn't referring to shemen zayis, shuman fat, or some other type of oil. Alternatively, they suggest shumshuman, referring to sesame oil, is what Rabbeinu Chananel was referring to. But again, not shemen zayis, because certainly Rabbeinu Chananel knew what the seven mashkim are. Let's finish off the Gemara now, Meisivet. Meisive kupa malea teven v'chavis malea grogro. So if I have a box full of straw, or a box full of grogros, Rashi explains are dried figs. So hamunachem b'chalon, that are placed in the window. Rowan kol she'ilu yinatlu v'yicholon teven v'grogros lamod b'fnei atzmon chotitzin. So now Rashi points out, referring to foods that are not chuchsher, so they cannot become tameh. So you have to assess the situation. If I could take out of these boxes, remove the boxes from these food items, and the straw will still remain blocking that window, and the figs will still remain blocking the window, if that's the case, again, if in theory I could take away the box, and they'll still have the ability to stand in place and block the window, so then the chotzitzin, they're going to be chotzitzin, it's going to block it. Vimlav, if they're not able to stand on its own, unless it's in a box, but if I take the box away, they're all going to fall off the window, then ain't chotzitzin, it's not going to serve as a chotzitzin. So the Gemara says, but why? Isn't a straw fit for animals to eat? So don't we have a klal whenever that item is edible, even though it's blocking, but it's edible, it doesn't serve as a chatzitza? So certainly the teven is roi for the animal, so it's edible, so it shouldn't be a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, referring to Bisiria. What's Syria? So Rashi explains here that Syria is a nirkav. It got bad, it went bad, and the animals wouldn't even eat it. So therefore, it's not edible. So the Gemara says, Chazei Litina, but aren't you able to take it and use it to make cement and to make bricks and stuff? So it's still usable, so a person might use it. So the Gemara says, the Isbe Kotze, where it has thorns in it, and it's not fit for a person making bricks and stuff out of them. So it's bottle. So Gemara says, but still, Chazei Lahaseika. So it's still, you could put it into a fire and burn it, and the thorns are going to burn off, and you could still make it usable for building bricks. So the Gemara says, "Bimasuna," where it's very moist. So moist straw and thorns are not going to burn. We know if you ever looking if you're camped out before in camp, they tell you look for dry pieces of wood for the fire. But if it's wet, it's not going to catch fire. So we're talking about wet straw that cannot be dried out, that cannot be burnt. So Gemara says, "But still, Chazela has a gadol." Granted, you can't start a small fire with these wet pieces of straw, but if you have a huge fire and you throw in some wet pieces of wood and a wet piece of straw, it certainly will catch fire. So it is chazay, it is really fit for something usable. So the Gemara says, Hezek gadol lo shchiach. It's not common that a person makes such a large fire that's going to be used. So therefore, if I have wet straw that's inedible with thorns that are rotten, so it would be batel and serve as a chatzitza. What about grogros? What about these dried figs? That too we said serves as a chatzitza. But ha-chazilei, but aren't these edible? You eat dry figs. So that's edible. How could it serve as a chatzitza? So Amar Le Shmuel b'shehet trifu. What's it trifu mean? So Rashi says it trifu means where it tliu, it went bad. There were worms and it was disgusting. Nobody would eat it. So therefore it's batal. V'chein tani rabba baravua b'shehet trifu. Okay, now the Gemara asks, and we'll finish off here. The Gemara asks, hi, chavis hechidami. So what's this chavis? I got a little jug holding these grogros in them. What's this scenario here exactly? If the opening of it is outside, so the bottom of it's facing the house, but the opening is facing towards the outside, so then the Gemara says, higufatachat. So then the chavis should serve as a block, as a chatzitza. Who cares what's inside the chavis? The chavis is blocking the window. I don't care about the grogros that's inside. The hakli cheres ain matami megavo. There's a klal that a pottery, earthenware pot, cannot be become matame from the outside. So it's not roi to tuma, and it's not edible, this kli cheres, certainly. So that can be blocking the chazitza. So who cares what's inside? Ella, therefore, must be the puma legavo. It must be where the puma is legav, where the opening is towards the inside. So now you have the grogros right there, facing inside of the house where the mace is. So that's the situation we're talking about. So we want to know, do those grogros, are they roy or they're not roy to be eaten? And since we're saying that they're rotten and no one's going to eat them, so those grogros will serve as a chatzitza. Ibai same alternatively, the Gemara says, liyolam de puma labar. Maybe even if the opening is towards the outside, so who cares what about the grogros? So certainly, shouldn't the chavis serve as a chatzitza? Gemara says, halcha b'may askinan b'chavis shema techas. We're not referring to a clay cheres, but rather referring to a metal jug, and a metal jug can become mitame from the outside. So the chavis becomes tame, the matechas becomes tame, but since there's grogros inside, which is not roi l'chabal tumah, and it's not edible, it's the grogros that serves as the chatzitza, and not the chavis. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.